It's the second big news day of the new year. We know more about what might happen in Minnesota if Amy Klobuchar runs for governor. We know more about what CBS News' new way of doing things actually looks like. But sadly, and like we have often said before here on the Steve Holmstrom Show, we know less about what the Fargo City Commission is really doing when it comes to making tough decisions. What is the criteria? What is the plan? Can anybody stand up and make a decision? We'll get into all that coming up today on the Steve Holmstrom Show. I almost did it, didn't I? I almost said good afternoon. So many habits trying to break here. I almost walked in, Addison, to the WDAY studio this morning, of all things. Why in the world would I even do that? I guess it's just doing something different after doing it the same way for 2.5 years every day.
Those habits will get you.
Oh, my God. Well, especially if you're getting old and stupid like yours truly here. So we will fight through all of this and intend to give you a good show here today. But, yes, we are still getting used to a few things. I got a text after the show yesterday from my friend Justin from the Lakes, and Justin fills in for me every once in a while. He said, Steve, you did pretty good, but one time you did say coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today.
He listened better than me. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, well, you're probably used to hearing it too. So, yeah, this is the 9 and 10 a.m. hour. There is no 4 and 5 a.m. hour of the Steve Holmstrom Show. But glad to be with you. If you're listening to us today and on KTGO Radio out in western North Dakota on the mobile app, the smart speaker, anywhere around, anywhere in the world, really. That's the great thing about the mobile app. If you can get a wireless signal to your phone, you can listen to the show and any of your favorite shows here on the flag. So take it with you wherever you go. Stereo quality, too. You don't have to worry about it getting scratchy in the morning or the evening hours. So make sure that you have that on your phone as you are leaving town, or maybe if you're in town, it comes in handy. I have to admit, I don't hardly ever listen to the radio anymore. I am an app guy, and it's just the way I kind of things are going these days, and a lot of people are like that too. So no matter how you listen to us, we're glad that you are here with us today on the program. As we mentioned yesterday, the thing we try to do on this show here is make it very clear to you that we don't have all the answers on anything. I don't think anybody ever does. But we have principles that we will apply to the news cycle. So we're going to take a look at what happens, and we're going to apply to the conservative playbook, and sometimes the good book as well. If you don't know me very well, I'm a believer, and it's hard for me to talk about the world without bringing the good Lord into it every once in a while, and it's kind of how I filter most things I look at. So between the conservative playbook and the good book, I like to say, okay, does this pass the test as we go through the day's news? And we do a lot of that here on the show. Happy to have your participation on the program today. You can call us at 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded. They can get you in quickly, especially if you're out in the western part of the state. I know thinking that you're going to drive to Fargo to go see a mental health counselor or a physical therapy professional seems like a lot, but sometimes you want to get away from home and take care of some of those things. You don't want everybody in town knowing what's going on. Well, Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness may be the way to do it. ValleyChristian.co. They offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, nurse practitioner. ValleyChristian.co. And since they've recently expanded, they still have openings. And these days it's hard, especially when it comes to mental health. You want to dump your bucket every once in a while. It's just kind of part of the way the world works and what a lot of people do these days. And so if you want to do that, nobody better than the good folks at Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. We will be also taking another qualifier today in our Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime contest. Valentine's Day in Vegas, two round trip tickets to Vegas, hotel stay, 2 tickets to the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day, and $500 cash as well. So lots of good stuff there. Make sure you're going to am1100theflag.com and register to win. And sometime today in the 10 o'clock hour, be listening because we will be naming our qualifier for the day. So lots of good stuff on the way here on the program, some chances to win some fun things as well. So all that, some good stuff there. I will mention to you again that our goal each day is to be the happy warriors. Never let them steal your joy and your optimism. Look at all the amazing things that are happening right now. Who would have thought Donald Trump in office, Tim Walz going down, interest rates on the decrease, GDP. I heard a guy, I'm going to tell you a story today about somebody who thinks we could have 5% gross domestic product in the new year. Unbelievable. Your 401k has never looked better. Minnesota fraud being exposed, voting now being put under the microscope as well. And I don't know that a lot of us thought that any of this would be going on a couple of years ago. You can't give up. You just can't. So stay tough, friends. Stay positive. Stay optimistic. That's what we try to do here on the program each day as well. It is January 6, 2026, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. And we try to remind you of that as often as possible here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, let's get to it here with the Morning Wire. This is what we're calling it these days with the almanac and key stories of the day. Kind of the ticker as we get started today. Average high for this day, Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo, 18. Average low is 1. Record high, 44 in 2012. Record low, minus 43 in 1887. Sunrise this morning will be at 8:11. The sun will set at 4:54, we'll gain 1 minute and 18 seconds of daylight today. In the markets today, things are off and running on Wall Street. The Dow is up 169, S&P 500 up 26, NASDAQ up 91 after a positive day yesterday, so we're going the right direction again today. WTI crude oil down 31 cents at 58.01. This has been a surprise to me, with all the oil sitting in Venezuela, but everybody's saying, look, it's going to be a while before any of that gets anywhere. So oil prices not really moving much after the weekend activities there. Gold up $43 an ounce at $4,494. Silver up $3.28 an ounce. And Bitcoin today pretty much unchanged from where it ended yesterday at the end of the show. $93,762. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas is down a penny from yesterday at $2.81. North Dakota's average price $2.54. South Dakota $2.55. Minnesota $2.60. Montana $2.77. And diesel fuel today also down a penny at $3.53 a gallon. In the news cycle today, Fargo City commissioners couldn't make a decision last night. They have voted to give 3 commissions that they were apparently intending to chop. They've given them up to 2 months to come up with action plans to stay alive. The commission voted 3-2 with Commissioners Dave Pepcorn and Michelle Turnberg. Stop me if you've heard this story before. Voting no to give the commissions extra time to come up with the plans. We'll talk about that later in the show today. A Moorhead man now faces a first-degree premeditated murder charge in the stabbing death of 14-year-old Jaylen Walker last August. The Clay County Attorney's Office amended the charges against Isaac Arndt yesterday, adding the more serious first-degree murder count to the existing second-degree murder charge. Arndt has pleaded not guilty to both charges. A sad story coming out of Barnesville. A young woman, a young leader in the community, gone too soon. City Council member Dawn Stuveland has passed away, according to a post coming from the city. She passed away from a cancer illness that affected her, and sad story there. Still so very young. She was only 47 years of age, and so our condolences to the city of Barnesville and to the Stuveland family as well. I was reminded yesterday that Julie Fedorchuk's reelection campaign has a Trump endorsement. I did not mention that yesterday. I should have, because that's going to make her very, very difficult to beat in North Dakota. That happened back in August. Also in the news today, the Forum reports of Bank of North Dakota President Don Morgan says 2026 is likely not going to provide much relief when it comes to profits in the ag industry. The Bank of North Dakota has allocated $37 million in loan to help rebuild grain storage and provide temporary storage as there. Over there, another $300 million loan program has been put on the table, and another $100 million to help farmers pay storing grain that's not been sold from the 2025 harvest. RFK Jr. and the Department of Health has overhauled the childhood vaccine recommendation schedule, going from 18 vaccines now down to 11. And Ford has reported its best annual U.S. vehicle sales year since 2019. Those stories making headlines here on this Tuesday. morning. Story of the day, are things really any different at CBS News? So far, I like what I see and I hear. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Steve Alstrom Show. We are coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. Vision, Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a car because they do all the signing electronically. Super simple, super fast, and super service. I got my last car there, and you should take a look at what they got going on there. Some good stuff. Vision, Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton, and go to drivewithvision.com. All right. Well, I am going to be trying to do a number of different things on the program here. Kind of changing new year, new gear, new time slot and everything. I want to do a story of the day. And yesterday it was obviously Tim Walz in Minnesota saying he's not going to run for reelection. And I mentioned to you yesterday that CBS News, under the new direction of Barry Weiss, who, long story, but she is a centrist, I think. I don't think she's center-right. I think she's center. She's been in the news game for a long time out in the big city of New York, and she is one of the people who's kind of like a Joe Rogan, not a political animal at all, but over time has just realized that we're just leaning way too far left with our news coverage these days. And she says, we got to fix that. Well, CBS News hired her to kind of run their news operation, not kind of, to go out and run their news operation. They hired a new anchor for CBS Evening News. Tony DeCoppel is his name. And he put out a social media post over the weekend saying, basically, we're going to do this different. We're not going to trust the elites and the whatever, the big people. He didn't want to say liberals or conservatives, but you could tell what he was getting at. He said, put us to the test. Well, last night was the first edition of the CBS Evening News with Tony DeCoppel, whose name I also had to learn over the last 24 hours. I want to play for you the first 6 minutes of the CBS Evening News broadcast. And I have to tell you that I think you're going to be interested to hear how this went. Now, I'm not going to try to tell you what to think of this. You're going to make up your own mind as you listen to this. But we're going to play about the first 5 minutes, 54 seconds of the newscast. And you listen to this and you tell me what you think. Is this fair? Is it too far right, too far left, or just about right?
Good evening. I'm Tony DeCoppel, and we begin here in New York City, where the now deposed president and former first lady of Venezuela appeared today in federal court just 2 days after U.S. commandos snatched them from a compound in Caracas. The historic pictures coming in all day, Nicolas Maduro and Celia Flores under heavy guard, clad in those blue jail shirts. And then once inside the court, they pleaded not guilty to all the charges against them. Maduro at one point tried to rise and address the court before the judge cut him off. Let's go straight to Matt Gutman, our chief correspondent, our new chief correspondent, by the way. Welcome. He was there for all of it, and he joins us now from the Federal Detention Center in Brooklyn, where Maduro and his wife are being held at this hour. Matt, good evening.
Good evening, Tony. And it has been a stunning turn of events for Maduro, who just a couple of days ago was the ruler of an oil-rich nation. Now he is in a freezing jail cell in that detention facility behind me. Now, in court earlier, he was both compliant and defiant, saying that he was kidnapped, but also that he is still the legal president of Venezuela.
Under heavy guard, Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores were flown from a federal jail in Brooklyn to Manhattan this morning, surrounded by Drug Enforcement Agency officials. The shackled former president of Venezuela shuffled from the chopper to an armored vehicle and was then driven to a federal courthouse where he was greeted by the NYPD and protesters.
What we have right now are demonstrators here right outside the courthouse. They're saying, who are we, Venezuela? What do we want? Freedom. Now, they've been here for about 2 hours. On the other side, there are people who oppose his detention.
Inside the courtroom, Maduro, in a dark prison jumpsuit, was initially defiant, declaring through a translator that he's a decent man, was innocent of all the charges, and was still the president of Venezuela. Both he and his wife then pleaded not guilty. Maduro faces 4 federal drug and weapons-related charges. He was indicted during the first Trump administration in 2020. Federal prosecutors accused Maduro, his wife, sons, and others of partnering with some of the most violent and prolific drug traffickers and narco-terrorists in the world to distribute thousands of tons of cocaine to the United States for decades. Saturday's risky operation by the U.S. military sliced right into the heart of Venezuela's capital, During the raid, Flores' attorney said she may have suffered an injury to her ribs. It is unclear if Maduro was injured, but in court, the judge promised them full medical attention.
What happens next?
So the arraignment is the official start of this clock ticking for the trial. Both sides have waived their right to a speedy trial, meaning this could be quite a bit of time. There will be multiple...
Meaning months, years?
Absolutely.
Now, at one point during the arraignment, it seemed that Maduro was trying to grandstand, and the judge shut him right down. He said, I just need to know that you understand the charges against you and your rights. Now, at this point, Maduro's lawyers have waived his right to bail, which means he'll be staying in that detention facility behind me. His next court appearance is March 17th, Tony.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. Glad to have you with us. While Maduro and his wife are in a cell here in America, a battle is underway for their country, for the future of Venezuela. Who's in charge there? Is it Maduro's deputies or is it the United States? Ed O'Keefe is on this tonight for us from the White House. Ed, good evening to you.
Tony, good evening. More than 48 hours since the U.S. pulled Maduro out of Venezuela, there are still few answers about what's next, with the president and some of his top aides saying different things about what to expect.
President Trump's national security team briefed senior lawmakers tonight amid mounting questions over the strategy in Venezuela. The president has threatened more strikes if current Venezuelan leaders don't behave and announced the U.S. is now in charge of a country of 31 million people and its vast oil reserves.
Don't ask me who's in charge because I'll give you an answer and it'll be very controversial.
What does that mean?
We're in charge.
But Secretary of State Marco Rubio said they're mainly pressuring the country economically.
What you're seeing right now is an oil quarantine that allows us to exert tremendous leverage over what happens next.
While Trump's UN ambassador today downplayed talk of total control.
There is no war against Venezuela or its people. We are not occupying a country.
Much of Maduro's regime is still in office. Today, his number two, Delcy Rodriguez, was sworn in as interim president. Trump has threatened she could go next if she doesn't allow full U.S. access to Venezuela's vast oil supplies.
We're going to have our very large United States oil companies, the biggest anywhere in the world, go in, spend billions of dollars, fix the badly broken infrastructure, the oil infrastructure.
Top oil industry leaders are expected to meet with administration officials later this week about how to tap back into the reserves, a years-long project that could cost tens of billions of dollars.
Okay, so that was the first 5 minutes or so of what we heard last night. Here are my thoughts. Now, we're all a little sensitive, right, on news coverage. We got a chip on our shoulder, and it's well-earned by the body blows that President Trump has taken over the last 5, 6, 7 years. But I thought the reporting was fair. It was they talked both sides of the protests, right? People on both sides of the street. It sounded like basic news to me. It was only 5 minutes, and it was only the first day. But what we didn't hear is the stories always seem to have a little bit of, but experts say that Donald Trump could be overstepping his bounds and may not be able to defend his actions in court. And it's always... you're guilty of something. And there was none of that. So the president has said what could be next. Yes, if other countries don't follow suit, they could be in trouble too. They had a comment from Rubio and another one saying we're not occupying a country here. We're just trying to get things back in order. One day, 5 minutes, but I liked what I heard. How about you? Let me know what you think. Studio at flagfamily.com. Check of news coming up next. Second straight day, we've got this kind of freezing fog sort of deal out there. Sounds weird to say. We have freezing fog out there, but I guess a little mist out there, a little moisture in the air, and that's messing with the roads. So be careful, especially in roads that haven't been driven on a whole lot this morning. If anything happens... and you slide off the road or slide into somebody else or something else, the gang of Custom Truck and Auto Shine would love to help you out. Collisions many times out of our control, but their full-service body shop is in control of the process that you need to get you back on the road in a jiffy. Visit CustomFargo.com. Pleased to have on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line right now, Ron Ness, and Ron is the CEO of the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation and a great industry voice on what happens in North Dakota oil and natural gas. We appreciate his time. Ron, happy new year to you. Thank you for being on the show today. Hope the holidays were good for you and the family.
Well, Steve, thanks for having me, and welcome to Morning Talk Radio. I Is this completely new for you? I can't remember. You and I have done lots of radio time, and it's always been a PM thing.
Yeah, they move me around every few years, it seems like. I did the morning show with Kevin and Alex, the morning drive show, for a long time. And then I got off the air and was just kind of busy running the business office here. And then I got nominated to get back on the air, do an afternoon show. And here we are back in the mornings as we've kind of reshaped things after the Charlie Kirk show going away, the Turning Point USA kind of taking that show off. So we just mix things around, and yes, here we are in the morning. But always great to talk to you no matter the day. So, Ron, we woke up to the news here, when was it, Saturday morning? So one of the days over the weekend, and found out that basically the regime had been toppled in Venezuela. And the first thing I thought of, I said this yesterday on the show, like, is that legal? Can we do this? And then the second thing I thought of is, what does this mean for the Bakken? So huge reserves in Venezuela. What happened over there over the weekend? Is this a good thing or a bad thing for North Dakota oil?
Well, I don't know that it has a significant impact on North Dakota oil, frankly. There are some fascinating statistics about Venezuela, and here's the two or three things for your listeners to walk away from today. Is number one, North Dakota currently produces more oil than Venezuela. We produce about 1.2 million barrels a day, North Dakota only, and Venezuela produces about 1 million barrels of oil a day. Their oil reserves are substantial. They were pegged at about 300 billion barrels of recoverable oil. But, you know, as it's kind of shaking out this week, that's a Hugo Chavez number. So trust me, Doug Burgum, the Secretary of the Interior, is in charge of the U.S. Geological Survey, which really assesses all of the resources in America. One of those is how much oil is there in place. I am certain that his team is reaching out to oil operators and others with history in Venezuela to figure out, is that number really correct? But the reality is, out of that 1 million barrels a day that they produce every day, China exports 80% of that. So to me, this is totally just a play to make sure that China does not have a foothold in the Western Hemisphere in a large oil-producing potential area like Venezuela. Venezuela crude oil is a heavy sour crude oil. It's used primarily for refining. A lot of American refineries have converted to this type of oil, which is one of the great benefits that the Keystone XL would have brought. It would have brought that heavy Canadian crude oil into the U.S. refineries, primarily across the Midwest and the Gulf Coast. But that oil is also used for ship fuel. It's used for asphalt, cement, and it's obviously sold at a discount because of its lower quality than Bakken-type oil. So I think this is a political long-term strategy move for the U.S. and also the opportunity for critical mineral development in Venezuela. Does the United States want China basically to secure a foothold in an energy-rich potential area? Estimates are that the infrastructure is so dilapidated in Venezuela, it could take $100 billion. President Trump is, you know, talking to the large international American oil companies that, you know, what will it take for you to go back in there? I believe Chevron, who produces oil in North Dakota now, has activity in Venezuela.
Yes, they're there now.
Those companies do, yep. Right? They play everywhere. And but, you know, what's the political stability, the regulatory stability that you can provide some type of assurances that, you know, they're not going to just seize all your assets like they did in the past and nationalize what you've built. So from a North Dakota standpoint, certainly we want to see more investment in North Dakota. From a consumer standpoint, I think having Western Hemisphere reserves in the hands of allies and or a friendly Venezuela is much, much better than in allowing China and OPEC nations to have that oil. And I think that stands for us. You know, gasoline's on sale, Steve. I don't know what the gallon
no
of gas
kidding.
Is in Fargo, but it's like it's tough sled in the oil industry right now. But it's good times for consumers. And we've had this discussion over the last 25 years, I guess, and You know, it's commodity business. Oil goes up and down. We don't control the world price of oil. But it shows you how much supply there is in the world when something like this happens in Venezuela.
Yes.
And oil was up. Oil's up 90 cents yesterday, you know, which is
right.
You know, we would like it to be up about $16 in order to, you know, put a little spice back in the opportunity. But, you know, we're going to be fine. We got to play for the long term. The Bakken is it's an incredible reservoir. It tells you how significant the Bakken is. When you see something like this make all the world news yesterday, and yet little North Dakota produces more oil every day than that.
Yeah, isn't that something? So that's the tension, right? Because what's good for the industry and what's good for the consumer, the gas pump, are often different things. It's kind of tough because you sort of got to dance the dance when you're talking about this in your position, right?
Well, you do. And from a North Dakotan standpoint, of course, there's a happy medium because you know, low oil prices in North Dakota means that, you know, our tax revenues are down, our job opportunities are going to decline, our economic drivers across the entire state are going to go down, the potential to add additional tax relief, all of those things for investment are probably going to be, you know, in a tougher decision point a year from now when the legislature comes back in. But if you find that happy medium in what I like to say in that $70 to $85 basket, you know, gasoline prices are in today's dollar. I mean, it's crazy when you think of, you know, you can get gasoline for, you know, $2 or sub $2 now in some areas when the tax, of course, of that is, you know, 47 cents or something like that. So, so got to find a commodity price that works, but, that's not how the world works. The market drives the price. We are price takers, not price makers. And, we got to plan for some of these downtimes like this. And the reality is we got big operators in North Dakota right now. A lot of them have the budget set. They can power through this to some extent, but certainly always really hurts the little guys. It hurts the service companies. And, you know, those are the guys that make the engine run. So it'll be a little different.
Yeah.
26, I suspect.
Do you have any guesses, Ron, that you feel at least some certainty about of, will all this oil that's over there, I heard 300 million barrels or something like that, will that flood the market and move prices here on domestic WTI? What's your best sense on that?
You know, some of the estimates I saw yesterday, it would take 5 to 10 years after you get some stability in that country to really bring that infrastructure back into place. And I felt for a long time that when we cracked the code on shale oil, that we had about a 20-year window on the world and for the rest of the world catches up in the foreign nations. And we've kind of seen that. You know, the rest of the world is now deploying some Bakken-type technology, and we've got to get to the next level of the Bakken, Bakken 2.0. We got to figure out how to get the next 15% of oil out of that rock. That's the next big thing, and nobody in the world has done it. But North Dakota, you know, the state of North Dakota collects $8 million a day in oil tax revenues. I'm just going to let that sink
in. It's a big number. Yeah.
That's a big number. So it's a state issue for North Dakotans, and we're all in this together. We've got to make it work because it helps makes life affordable for us in North Dakota. It helps us do the things that we need to do, but it also keeps our taxes low and our opportunities for our young people high.
That's right.
We're going to figure this out. What happens in Venezuela will happen in Venezuela. We certainly always want to see investment here, but I do think that this is a political move on behalf of ensuring that our foes across the world, China and others, don't establish a stronghold on those resources in Venezuela in the Western Hemisphere.
What are we seeing otherwise, Ron, when it comes to production activity, exploration, people getting a little more excited or less excited? What's happening now in the Bakken? What do you see from the domestic drillers and producers? Are they more optimistic, less optimistic? Are they kind of looking at these prices and holding off? What's the sense out there right now?
Well, I think it's a great question, Steve, and certainly I don't think there's a whole lot of optimism for 2026. I think when you look at the market dynamics around supply and demand, there's there's just a lot of supply. Texas is producing over 6 million barrels a day. And, you know, again, that's 6 million barrels a day in Texas alone. Over 2 million barrels a day in New Mexico. North Dakota is still over a million barrels a day. So I think the market's going to be a little bearish this year, and we're seeing operators back off of their exploration plans. It costs you $8 million to drill a new well. Are you bullish about getting $47-$48 oil? Because that's what you're getting for a Bakken barrel today. Is gonna provide a return on that investment? No. So you're probably gonna back off a little bit. Get yourself to the point where you've got to continue to produce oil. The oil wells, 19,000 oil wells that are producing, you're going to produce those because that's what pays the bills. That's what keeps your employees on, but you're probably going to back off on some of those exploration dollars. And we're beginning to see that as we move into the first quarter here. Some of the budgets will be released over the next 30 to 40 days, and we'll see what some of the big operators do. But the small guys are kind of backing off a little bit. Just kind of tapping the brakes, and maybe once, maybe twice. The third time's a little bit harder, but you know, long term, I think we're bullish on. That's what happens in commodity markets. They go through cycles, and it'll swing back up, and you know, at some point here. But it doesn't seem to be anything in the world that can move the oil markets higher right now.
Okay.
Supply is dictating what's going on.
Yeah, and there's
a lot
of that. Ron, great information as always. Thank you, sir, for lending your perspective. Happy New Year to you. I'm sure we'll talk often in 26.
All right, Steve, thanks.
Thank you. Ron Ness, CEO, North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. When we come back, the Fargo City Commission can't figure out what to do about three committees. Man, we have trouble making decisions sometimes. That's next. Studio at flagfamily.com. That is the email address here for the Steve Holcomb Show. And wherever you're listening to us from, I would love to hear from you. What is the story that you think is making news in your community today? What should we be talking about? You can help us out on that. Studio at flagfamily.com. Would love to hear from you today. If you need a new garage door, fast, reliable repairs, OnTrack Garage Doors got you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. OnTrack Garage Door is proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values, quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. Call them at 701-793-4246 today, 793-4246, 793-4246. So three Fargo City committees have 2 months now to make the case that they should not be eliminated. If you're listening to me today in Bismarck or Wahpeton or Stanley or Tioga, you're going, I don't know exactly how this matters to me. Look, what happens in Fargo, you should be aware of, because this is what you have to deal with. Pretty much any opposition to good conservative principles across the state of North Dakota starts in the city of Fargo. And not always even so much conservative versus liberal, but just efficient and capable and leadership that actually gets things done. We have more of this, it seems to me, in the city of Fargo than we do just about anywhere else. When the local people who want to protest and make a voice that we should be taking a stand, Israel versus Gaza, show up, they go to the Fargo City Commission. They don't go to West Fargo. They don't go to Castleton. They don't go to Minot. They go to the Fargo City Commission and raise all kinds of fuss. And generally, the Fargo City Commission goes, maybe we don't want to do anything to make anybody mad. Well, here we go again. So the mayor of Fargo, who I think is a really good dude, he's a Democrat, but I think a common sense Democrat. And I've got a lot of friends in my life that are that way. Well, not a lot, but a few. Well, this guy, I think, is generally a good man, really good man, principled guy, all that. But sometimes he brings up something and it seems like he backtracks. And I wish I saw more of, and this is not just him. I see this in others too, but make a decision and go with it. You're going to make somebody mad. It's okay. Well, in front of an audience of more than 50 residents, and you can guess what the 50 residents were. They were people who wanted to stand up for the Native American Commission, the Arts and Culture Commission, the Human Rights Commission. And they don't want these committees going away. We have a city commission in Fargo that's paid to represent everybody and everything, but we have to create these commissions, it seems like, every so often, because we just have to do the we have to placate the people. We have to, you know, make sure that they know that we haven't forgot about them. You're okay. We're all okay. So we have these commissions that spring up. Well, 3-2 vote the proposal was to eliminate them. And if the mayor would have sided, just stood his ground, they would have been eliminated. And the wasted time, the wasted money, the distraction from the other city business, all of that would have been taken care of. But no, they ended up changing the course there, and the mayor voted with John Strand and East Colpack, who typically, it's a 3-2 vote, it's typically 3 on one side and 2 on the other. So they set a deadline where, you know, for a couple of months now, we're going to be finding out, can they scale back? They're being given an opportunity to make the case that they should stay. And to me, this is a problem with the leadership on the Fargo City Commission, both with the current mayor and, yes, the deputy mayor, Denise Kolpak. I see too much of this in her as well. This is just my perception. I may not have every fact that there is to be said, but when we have conversations that come up in the city of Fargo, like ending the needle program, where we think we're going to make people's lives better and healthier by giving them needles so they continue to abuse illicit drugs, we get together and we say, okay, let's have some tough conversations about homelessness and about drug use and all that and the needles and how we take care of all those things. And we go in and we say, we're going to listen. We're going to make a good, strong, confident decision. And then it's, oh gosh, well, somebody said something that really made me think, how can we help people if they're dead? Look, we are to be compassionate people, yes, but the job of a city commissioner is not to save humanity. It's to run a city and to make tough decisions and to face the 50 people in the angry mob that don't want you to do what you are going to do because it makes them mad and feels like they're having their voice delegitimized. These people all have a voice. They can come to the meetings and be part of regular city business. We just don't need as many of the special interests in city government. Government of any kind, whether it is city, county, state, national, whatever, the government is there to do for things only which people cannot do for themselves. That's why we have a city commission. That's why we have a state legislature and a Congress. But government over the years has turned into something where we have special interests and people that lobby, and we have to tell these people that they really do matter in this city. And so we're going to have a committee or a commission for you, and we don't care what you do. You're probably going to do nothing. Nothing's going to come of it. It's going to be a waste of money, which has happened with all these three commissions. But we never get around to saying, you know what, enough. And we couldn't say it last night either. And again, I don't know everything there is to know about this, but to me, it feels like another example of leadership that went in to make a strong decision and didn't. Steve Holstrom Show continues. Hour number two, the key three next. Hour two of the Steve Holstrom Show. Morning edition starting this week. Good to have you with today, my friend, whether you're listening to us on WZFG, the flag in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, the Red River Valley, whether you're listening to us on KTGO Radio out in Stanley, Tioga, Watford City, Minot, Williston, whether you're listening on the mobile app, the smart speaker, however you're catching the show, we do appreciate it very much. If you miss a show and there's something you want to check back on, all of our shows are podcast on your favorite podcast platform as well, Spotify and iTunes and all those places. So Stitcher, if you're a Stitcher guy or gal, you can catch us there as well. So Steve Holstrom Show, you can't get away from us. We'll chase you down one way or another. Want to give you a friendly reminder. Those of you who are new to the program may not know that we do something really fun every Wednesday, and I can't wait. We're going to get to do this again tomorrow. And it is our Warm Your Heart Wednesday feature from Grateful Cratefuls. You can nominate one of your friends and neighbors whose faith shines bright as they serve our community with love. Every Wednesday, Amy from Grateful Cratefuls will draw a winner for a one-of-a-kind gift crate. Go to am1100theflag.com, scroll down to the Faith and Community Spotlight graphic, and click through there to submit somebody special. Amy, a great faith, family, freedom gal, and love talking to her as we give a shout out to somebody who's doing something good to serve in the community. So make sure you do that, and we'll draw another winner tonight. So this would be a great time to go there and do it. While you're there, register for the big Valentine's Day trip, too. It's a lot of good reasons to go to AM1100TheFlag.com. Texter Jeff said, hey, Steve, we're talking about Venezuela and the oil and all that stuff that you're talking about here. We should do a legacy fund for Venezuela like we did in North Dakota, where you take a certain percentage of the proceeds and then put into a fund to do something. I like it. I'm not sure that we can do it. It's not our oil, so I don't know that we could take the benefit there. But the U.S. should benefit in some way from this, no doubt about that. Maybe we do something where you take some, in a fund and you use it for international drug trafficking or international voter fraud investigations or something like that. Maybe there's a way you can do it. I like, Jeff, where you're going on that, though. A legacy fund for the Venezuela oil. Good stuff there. So fun deal. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to qualify you, maybe. You. If you have signed up on AM1100TheFlag.com for the big Valentine's Day trip to Vegas, you get, man, it's a hotel, you get the flight, you get spending money, two tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere, which is the bomb, I'm told. So your chance to qualify coming up soon. If you have registered already, be listening here sometime in the next, I'd say, half hour or so. Be a good time to lean in there. From the email box, emailer Jake said, Steve, I don't know why you're making such a big deal out of these commissions. They do good things in the community, and they don't cost that much. Well, Jake, the city commission is there to do the business of doing good in the community, first of all. So we don't need the commissions. Again, is it a need or is it a want? The government should only do things for people which they cannot do for themselves. And when you say they don't cost much, the problem is City of Fargo's in debt by, what did the mayor say last night? One, I forget what it was. But we have a significant amount of debt in the city already. So when you are in debt, you don't go buy a lake place. Like you and your family. You don't say, gosh, you know, we're financing our lifestyle on a credit card right now. We can't get enough money to meet our expenses. Let's go buy a new car and let's make it a Maserati. Let's have some fun. You don't do that. You don't do that. The city spends between 10 and 50 grand a year to run all of these boards. And there's like 20, 25 of these different boards. So if you got 20 boards that, you know, I mean, just do the math here. You're talking about, you know, $500,000-$600,000 to run all of these boards. No, that'd be only a dozen. Two dozen would be a million. So you're spending all of this money on these boards. And we can have arts and culture, human rights, and Native American celebrations. We can do all that without having a board. We're broke. We don't seem to understand this, whether it's the federal government or the state government or the city or what. I guess state government is in the same spot. But we don't understand that when you are in debt, you're not broke. You're worse than broke. We've got to save the money here some way or shape because it's the people of the city that have to pay that. So, Jake, I get where you're coming from. I get your heart's in the right place. As a believer, I'm trying to love other people and whatever, but that's not what government is supposed to do. Let people do that on their own. It's not a government function. But thank you for the email, my brother. I do appreciate that. All right, it's time for the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. And I used to do this when I was doing it in the afternoon show. I called it the top five at five. Well, we've reduced it to three because our time was a little bit shorter here. We're squeezing the show in a little bit tighter time frame. And I thought, you know, three is a good number, and what rhymes with three? Key. Okay, key three. So here we go. All right, story number one. Hilton says this morning that it's dissolving its relationship with a Minnesota hotel that sparked backlash from the Department of Homeland Security for denying federal immigration agents from booking rooms. TheHill.com with this story today. You probably heard of this story if you've been in the news cycle there. Conservative commentator Nick Sorter visited the Hampton Inn in Lakeville and attempted to book accommodations early Tuesday morning while posing as a representative from the DHS. Even the front desk manager, he said on X, had spoken with the owner shortly before I walked in and confirmed the anti-DHS policy remained in effect. Revoke their license, Hilton, or it's going to cost you dearly. You've been warned. Yes, this would be another Bud Light, I think. The company is independently owned and operated under the management company Everpeak Hospitality. So this isn't a Hilton thing. You can't say Hilton is doing this. This is a franchise kind of deal there. And there have been reports already that ICE officials had tried to book rooms at this hotel and were denied. And as you know, the Trump administration is trying to look for illegal immigration and fraud and all those things there. Well, Hilton says, hey, this ain't going to be part of us deal here anymore. So they are backing off of, not backing off, they're dissolving their relationship. They say, you can go be a Holiday Inn if you want, but you're not going to be a Hilton. So good job, Hilton. We don't have to start boycotting things like that. Fox Business Report, story number two. The Texas and Florida again topped the U-Haul Growth Index study, survey, whatever you want to call it. The moving company reviews more than $2 million one-way transactions across the U.S. and Canada for its growth index to find out where people are moving away from and where they're moving to. This story tends to sound about the same every year. Texas tops the ranks of in-migration states, followed by Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, and South Carolina. Notice anything that those states have in common? The states with the most people leaving, California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts. Notice anything about those states? That's story number two. Story number three. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under RFK Jr. and the CDC has announced an overhaul of the childhood vaccine schedule that recommends fewer shots to all children. I want to draw attention to one word in the story that not enough people are talking about. The word is recommends. Under the change, the vaccine schedule will more closely resemble Denmark's, recommending all children get vaccines for 11 diseases compared with the 18 previously on the schedule. So what gets the axe? Hepatitis A, hepatitis B, RSV, bacterial meningitis, rotavirus, and influenza. The CDC will no longer recommend that all children be vaccinated against them. You can go to your doctor, and I'm sure they'll be happy to load your kid up with everything. But the CDC is now saying we are not recommending those vaccines. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that I would bring that your way here today. Senior HHS officials say the changes are meant to restore trust in public health that spilled over from the COVID pandemic. You've probably seen that chart that's run around on social media many times where it shows you what we got when I was a kid in 1967 versus what kids are getting here now. It used to be like six shots before you were two, and now it's like 75 or whatever it is. Well, the recommendation is going down. You can still do what you want to do, but the recommendations are definitely changing. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the key three. When we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show, the best thing I heard all day, what if our nation's GDP grows to 5% this year? Two people I have a lot of faith in say it will happen in 2026. New year, new gear for you, maybe your business as well. Chris Buckingham is the founder and fractional CXO at SolveCXO, and we get a little business advice from Chris every week at this time. Hey, Chris, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Steve.
Appreciate you taking the time, my man. Hey, Chris, business owners are telling us all the time technology decisions feel overwhelming, a little frustrating even, from time to time. Why does it feel that way for so many business leaders?
Yeah, a lot of technology decisions are made without a clear business strategy behind them. It's just solving the technical need, not the real business need. So those systems are usually set up to function. They're secure. They can be supported, but no one really asks the right questions or owns what the technology actually supports and how the business runs or where they're actually trying to go.
So it's not really a technology failure then, right?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the time, The tools will technically work. The frustration comes from misalignment. The systems don't match the workflows. The reporting doesn't support the decisions. And the people just end up making workarounds to work for them the way versus the way it was intended to work.
Yeah, so what happens to the business owner, the leader? It just creates a whole lot of hair pulling out, right?
Yeah, a lot of stress. You're left second guessing. Was this the right decision? And feeling like the technology is controlling them instead of supporting the team and the business goals.
It's such a great conversation. There are so many unbelievable tools out there with technology, but you've got to be able to match the right technology to your situation. The net, that takes some expertise, right? So how do you guys and your SolveTech advisors, as you call them, how does that fit in?
Yeah, the SolveTech advisors program is really to help owners take a step back, get clear on what the business needs are. So it's business first technology decisions instead of just reacting to the current problems as they come up.
It's such great advice. And yeah, I mean, if you want to make sure that that chessboard that you're looking at with your people, your processes, and your technology is lined up right, nobody better than Chris and his team at SolveCXO. You can go to SolveCXO.com, SolveCXO.com, helping business owners turn their vision into action. Chris, love it. Good stuff as always. Thanks for the reminder today. You have a great day.
You too, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Take care. 10:22 here, Steve Hallstrom Show, and good to have you with us here this morning on the program. One of the things I want to do here as we're kind of retooling the show is tell you about something that I've heard over the last 24 hours since I left you last. So I guess really that's 22 hours if we're getting fussy about it. Something I heard that I thought was really good and really interesting, and I'm going to call it best thing I heard all day. And so it could have been yesterday, it could have been this morning, but best thing I heard all day. And I want to play for you a comment that I heard when Larry Kudlow was talking to Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. And this is only about 40 seconds long, but this made me sit up in my chair.
That's, I think it can go to 5% growth. And that means...
That's what Louis Navalier told me. Mm-hmm. 5% GDP in the
really?
Coming months.
Really?
5%
wow.
GDP.
I love
he
that.
Said it on Mornings with Maria. He said 5% GDP is coming because of everything you're just talking
I
about.
I love that. And I'm not saying forever, but I'm saying for next year, maybe the year after. What's that do? That puts a lot more money in people's pockets.
What a huge number.
Paychecks go up. If paychecks are going up and gasoline prices and inflation going down, that's like a shock and awe growth economy.
Can I
it's
say,
the thing we haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
It goes back to Reagan, that kind of thing.
Okay, so there you go. Larry Kudlow says, I think we can get to 5% growth. Maria Bartiromo says, you know what? I had Louis Navalier on my show. He said the same thing. Those are two guys that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. They've been right way more than they've been wrong through the tariffs, through the Trump first administration, through the first year of Trump 2.0. These guys have stayed positive based on what they see from Donald Trump being a good businessman. The economists, the smart guys, the think tank people are like, oh, I don't know if any of this is going to work. This is all going to backfire and Trump's an idiot. You know, they don't ever say that, but they insinuate that. And so they say, well, inflation's going to go through the roof and GDP growth, all these tariffs, tariffs, is just going to fall apart. Well, here's Larry Kudlow saying it. Maria Bartiromo says Louis Navalier is one of the titans of Wall Street saying the same thing. And that made me sit up in my chair, and it should make you do something of the same sort, at least raise your eyebrows a little bit. So what does 5% GDP growth mean? Okay, well, to dumb it down in the area where I normally live, I like to do that. 5% GDP growth is the total of the goods and services produced in the country for a year would be a 5% increase. This is like a nirvana. They have dreamed of 4% for years. And there have been times when we've had quarters that have gone up pretty big when, like, you're coming out of COVID and things like that. When you have these massive shocks to the economy and then you kind of bounce out of that, you can have those things. But we haven't had a real traumatic event over our last 12 months. So 5% at this point in time, after we were, what was the third quarter, 3 point something, and then fourth quarter is 4.3, now going to 5%? Yowza. So what does all this mean? Well, you heard Kudlow talk a little bit about it there. What does this mean? Well, this would be boomtown coming to an entire country. Most economists are projecting something like 1.8 to 2.4. If we hit 5%, we are, as I said, it's kind of a boom town. What does it mean for workers? Well, if you're a U.S. worker, and thankfully a lot of the jobs now, most all the jobs are going to native-born workers, black, white, brown, yellow, doesn't matter, but native-born workers, well, that means pay goes up. It's upward pressure on earnings. When the economy grows that fast, companies can't find enough people to keep up with the orders. So that's good. For business owners, 5% growth is a shift, big shift from survival mode to, hey, let's make something happen. They're going to stop hoarding cash. Those that have it, the bigger companies, they're going to start spending on capital expenditures, new factories, advanced robotics, data center expansion. For investors, oh boy, S&P 500, you could be looking at a 15 to 20% boost. And JP Morgan thought they were drunk already and said, let's go 13% on projections so we could have all of that. Some ideas, look for investments of the picks and the shovels of the AI cycle. The connectors, the physical hardware, the things like that. Caterpillar. Places like that that you're going to have to bulldoze things and make it happen. Look for maybe even some emerging market opportunities there as well. I found a couple of companies that I bought a little stake in over Christmas. One that provides power and liquid cooling infrastructure for data centers, kind of the physical plant side of the AI boom. And then a company that's kind of the drone-in-a-box systems and wireless networks that are used in defense, rail, AI, and so forth. So a lot of opportunities there. And wouldn't that be fun if we got there? All right, Daniel Gill of Fargo, you are our 10 a.m. qualifier today in the Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime. You got 11 minutes to give us a call coming up here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we return on the program, what happens next in Minnesota? I have a theory on how to best compete if you want to try to knock off Amy Klobuchar in 2026, that's next. Your smile is more than just your teeth. It's your confidence, your joy, and yes, your story. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, Dr. Matt Eaton and his compassionate team helps you reclaim that smile with same-day smile transformations that are truly life-changing. They know how hard it's been, so they make it easier with sedation, kindness, and payment options that work for you. Call the caring team at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit DakotaDentalImplant.com. In no time, you'll be smiling like you mean it. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today and start your journey towards smiling like you mean it. Addison Loger is my co-pilot for the show here today. He keeps everything running behind the scenes so that I can just have fun hanging out with you. Addison, have we heard yet from our qualifier?
We
our
did.
Qualifier candidate, I should say.
Yes. He just called in. So okay. Lucky him. He got his name thrown into the hat for the final drawing.
Very good. So Daniel Gill is in, and you can be as well. February 2nd is going to be our big shindig over at Kingpin's in Fargo there. And it's your chance to qualify for a Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime. So Daniel is in. You can be as well. Go to am1100theflag.com. And all you got to do is sign up, say, hey, I want to be in the drawing, and you could be like Daniel on your way to the watch party on February 2nd, and we'll be drawing somebody to get that amazing trip to Vegas. And we want to say thank you to All Sauger Meats for being our presenting sponsor of Valentine's Day in Vegas, allsaugermeats.com. From pasture to plate, we get a lot of steak and chicken breasts over there. They got some really good marinated chicken breasts over at All Sauger. And they also have trotted out a new line of pizzas. The carnivore pizza, yes, please, all meat. The creamy chicken Alfredo, the pepperoni classic, and the All Sauger signature supreme. Yum. And you can also get Carl's Lefse over there, made over in Holly. All Sauger chuck wagon beans, that's where you get the ground beef and the bacon bits. They just know how to do food over there. Let's be honest about that. And Veterans Avenue location, Fargo, will be celebrating their two-year anniversary. Four locations, Veterans Boulevard and Timber Creek Parkway off 52nd Avenue South in Fargo, Breckenridge, Minnesota, and Audubon, Minnesota as well. So good stuff there from All Sauger Meats. Thanks to those guys for sponsoring the program. So Daniel is in. We hope that you will be too. We'll do this tomorrow again at 10 a.m. All right, 10:34 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, I'd like to say I have a theory. Honestly, I stole it from somebody. And I'm going to try to be ethical about this and tell you that I stole this from Julia Coleman. This is a theory about how Minnesotans can win, or how Minnesota Republicans can win, if Amy Klobuchar becomes a new candidate for governor in Minnesota. And Amy Klobuchar, if she wins election, and she is not announced yet, but everybody says she's going to. There's so much smoke. It looks like it's a done deal. And honestly, the Democrats, I don't think, have a lot of super strong candidates to win a governor's race. I think they need her to jump in. Well, if she wins the election, she can then appoint a replacement to the U.S. Senate, because she'll be dropping out. And her term doesn't end until like 2031. So she's got a long ways to go. She just got reelected there. It's really smart strategy by the Democrats there. So how do we prevent this from happening? I said yesterday, I don't think the Republicans have a candidate that can win. And I still believe that. However, there is always a chance, right? When Donald Trump started out in the 2024 cycle, I didn't think he had much chance at all. And turns out he won. Got helped by a bad candidate or two running on the other side, no doubt. But hey, all credit to President Trump for making it happen. And man, are we glad. Just look at what that guy's done in 1 year. So maybe there's not a super strong candidate, but maybe there's a super strong idea in Minnesota that can go along with a relatively strong candidate who catches fire and gets a little bit of tailwind. And maybe all that put together is enough to beat Amy Klobuchar. She's very popular with Democrats, and she's pretty popular with independents and moderates. But she has some things on her resume. If you go back to when AOC trotted out the Green New Deal, she was like, yeah, Green New Deal. This makes a lot of sense. Let's get rid of the cows and the airplanes. Now, as time has gone on, people have kind of backed off that. Yeah, maybe we got a little crazy there when Biden was in office. It looked like we had everything going our way. And there are a lot of scientists now out on social media and putting good things out there that are telling you that it's not going to work. So you just never know how things rise and fall. Is Amy Klobuchar beatable? I don't know. But if they're going to do it, get a really good candidate. I think there are a few. Maybe someone is not in yet even. And go with a really good idea, and that comes from Julia Coleman. If you're wondering who Julia Coleman is, she's a Minnesota state senator who represents Carver County in the Twin Cities. This is southwest of the metro area, Chaska, Waconia, Watertown, Norwood, Young America, places like that. So kind of that second-tier suburb. And I like Julia a lot. Her social media stuff is on fire, and it's always on target. And she worked for Charlie Kirk. She was an employee of Turning Point USA, and she says that she helped start the Turning Point USA chapter at the University of Minnesota. And so I follow her on social media. You should too, at Julia E. Coleman. That's on Twitter or X. And she said this yesterday, and I think she's got it right. I'm going to go with it. Quote, Democrats shouldn't count their chickens yet. Governor Walz's decision not to seek reelection is a major turning point heading into 2026. However, Republicans are energized and ready to remind voters that all elected Democrats, and then she gives five bullet points, spent our entire $18 billion historic surplus, raised taxes by $10 billion, created funding strains for schools and local governments, put politics ahead of students, and blocked Republican efforts to fight fraud. Minnesotans deserve fiscal responsibility, excellent schools, and protected taxpayer dollars. To my Republican colleagues, now is the time to be more unified than ever. It's our civic duty to deliver a better Minnesota come November 2026. And then she put an American flag at the end. And I love that. Anytime I see a flag, right? If I see somebody who's got a flag on their jacket, their shirt, if I feel like it's a situation, I give them a little fist bump. I'm like, yeah, keep rocking that flag, brother. I love that. You know, and yesterday, as I was kind of looking at all this, Amy Klobuchar gets, I'm like, oh, brother, there's no shot. I still think it's going to be really, really, really hard. But if Republicans can take those five things that Julie Coleman outlined there and express them well, this is the thing. Government's full of, like, really, some parts of government are full of really smart people who just don't articulate their stuff good enough really well. If Republicans can do this, like Kendall Qualls, okay? Kendall Qualls has a shot to catch fire. Black man, business guy, smart dude, conservative, veteran. I mean, the guy has it all right out of central casting. If he can catch fire and if he just focuses on these five things, maybe he's got a shot. Maybe. Still think it's a long shot, but right now in Minnesota, Republicans just need a shot. And yes, we wanted Tim Walz out, but honestly, he was the most beatable of any of the Democrats. So what happened yesterday is not good, which is why he did it. The Democrats will put politics over everything. But thank you, Julia Coleman, for putting some wind in my sails, saying maybe there's a shot, and I'll take it. Right now, I'd still say 70-30, but you never know. It's going to take some things to happen. But I love it. Thought you would like that as well. Let's go to the phone line, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Mark in Fargo wants to talk about Minnesota and Tim Walz. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, man, who that is? What's your name, sir?
My name is Steve Hallstrom. Nice to meet you, Mark.
Steve Hallstrom. Well, let me holler at you a minute, Steve. Listen, old Tim is the tip of a very large iceberg. We can't see most of it.
Yes, sir.
A lot of it's unpaid obligations that we've got to pay in the future, and probably is in the $100 trillion range.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, when you try to collect the interest on a debt, the service on a debt like that, every 3 months, and it's 3% of, say, $22 trillion, which is the domestic portion of the debt, then that's $660 billion, over half $1 trillion.
Well, I like
every
you.
3 months.
You're doing numbers on this show. I love numbers. Keep on rolling, brother. I like it.
Yeah. They say when you sell a book and you put a formula in it, it makes the sales go down by half.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's truth to that.
So the only thing you can threaten a bunch of people like that with is treason, because they are seeking to bring down the United States government and the world economy. You can't pay that kind of interest month after month after month. It's going to wreck this nation.
Yes, sir.
So you gotta say, hey, this is no joke. We'll pay back the interest, but we can't. I'm sorry, the principal, but we can't pay any further interest.
Mm-hmm. Mark, the problem for you and me on this, and I'm right there with you, I talk a lot about this on my show. The problem is that most people don't agree with us. There are either people on the Democrat side who just don't care, and in some cases I feel like they want to bankrupt the country. And then there are people on the Republican side that just don't think it's a problem. They just figure, well, we'll be able to keep making debt payments. People like you and me are smart enough to do the math on this and say, the reason we have high interest rates right now is we got bad bonds out there because they're not worth as much anymore. So that causes high yields and it causes high interest rates on different things. But there's a lot of people who just don't, either they don't get it or they don't care. That's the problem.
They're doing the quantitative easing thing, which is to print more money, which makes it easier to pay those dollars back in the future. And they've been doing that quantitative easing thing for a long time, and it just makes the value of the dollar go down and makes prices go up. And the average person wonders why everything's so expensive. That's what it is. It's the $38 trillion in debt.
Yes, sir. I've often said that if everybody had $1 million in the bank, a loaf of bread's no longer $4. It's $20. And that's exactly right. When there's more money in the system, everything just, quote-unquote, magically gets more expensive. Mark, give me your best 10 seconds to finish up. I got to run, brother, but give me your best 10.
Okay. $38 trillion chasing fewer goods, the same amount of goods, makes up for the goods going up in price. That's automatic. It's supply and demand. So you can't pump that kind of money out there and expect disastrous things not to happen.
Mm, yep. Yeah, I don't know how this ends well. But I hope it does. And as we've seen, President Trump is in office. Tim Walz is leaving. There can be good things and little miracles that happen. You just never know. Mark, thanks for calling, my man. All right. You take care. Thanks again. All right. 1044, Steve Alsham Show. When we come back, God smacked me in the head this morning. I'm going to tell you why coming up next. Vision Ford and Lincoln in Wahpeton is hiring their sales team, and that could mean the job of a lifetime for you. You can make a lot of money just by helping people you know find the car, truck, or SUV they've been looking for. And service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Vision Ford Lincoln, not just a place to buy a great set of wheels, it's a place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. Email to the inbox comes in today from listener John, and he said, Steve, appreciate the show. Like the, what did he say? Loving the morning show. Thanks for the great content and a measured delivery. I just saw this post from a friend. Thought it was absolute gold if you want to use it. And the post says, it's fascinating to contrast the incredible precision, professionalism, capability, and flawless execution of the operation to capture Maduro coming a few months after the incredible precision, professionalism, capability, and flawless execution of the operation to take out Iran's nuclear facilities as compared to the absolute goat circus that was the Afghanistan withdrawal. That's really well said. You're 100% right. You got Joe Biden, who completely botched Afghanistan. We had some of that stuff showing up at the border. And then you got Trump and his people doing what they're doing. Thank you, John, for sending that in. All right. I think part of any show getting to know me in a new time slot or connecting with the host of the program, I think it's good sometimes to kind of let you into a little bit of a window into my soul every once in a while when I think it can make for good conversation on the radio. So I'm going to do that this morning. I was reading this morning in Romans 2, and I'm trying to do a little bit better. I have to admit, I pray a lot, but I'm not great at getting into the Word. I just am not. I know I need to. I know that God changes people when they read the Bible. I just, for whatever reason, it's not a strong suit for me. So I'm trying to do a little better. So I was reading today in Romans 2, and I got like 15 words in, and I got smacked upside the head. It goes like this. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Oh, boy. So I'm like, okay, because what do I do? So often on this show and otherwise, I look at the liberals, I look at the Democrats, I look at the wacko people, and I go, you morons, you idiots, you whatevers. And sometimes I'm right, but I do get a little high horsey sometimes, thinking I know more than I do. And I felt like today the good Lord was saying, Steve, you're not all that smart, and you're certainly not all that perfect. And it's the point going on here is that judging somebody else for the things that they do wrong is a self-indictment. That means that if you're judging somebody, that means you know the standard of right and wrong. The problem is you know it, but you don't necessarily keep it. And he who is without sin cast the first stone, right? So I have to remember this every once in a while. Now, there's certainly a lot that you cannot like about the other side right now. And I call it the wacko left. I'm not talking about your North Dakota Democrats or your Western Minnesota. I'm not talking about them. But there's certainly a lot there, and it feels more than ever before like this is a battle of good versus evil. It just does. It does to me. And I try to watch so I not jump to conclusions, and I try to give people a shot. But anyway, I thought that was interesting today. I kind of felt like God was saying, Steve, don't try using your morality or whatever you want to call it as your sense of entitlement or right and wrong, or you're on the right side or whatever, whatever. Walk humbly with your God. So I bring that up today just to give you something to think about and so that you can get to know me a little bit more. If you're not a religious person, I don't mean to try to take you to church here, but I think God gives us something for all of us. And you don't have to be a religious person. You don't have to whatever, be any certain whatever, but you can at any point along the way just say, All right, God, maybe there's something I can take out of that too. So if that does you some good, some encouragement today, then I'm glad if that can happen. 10:53, Steve Ahlstrom Show. A couple of text messages have come in here. First one is, Steve, a Republican candidate can win in Minnesota. Prayer is the most powerful force that exists. With God, all things are possible. You know why the chicken crossed the road? To show the deer that it could be done. God bless the flag, it says. Thank you, my friend. Boy, that works out perfect with what we were talking about today. Thank you for that. One more. Steve, Trump will blow up Minnesota to win midterms and get that Minnesota Senate seat. Oh, brother, I love it. Or sister, whoever you are, I love it. I've not given out the text line often today, 701-237-1590 if you want to do that. You can call 271-1100, and Grant has done that. Grant, you get the last word today. You got about 30 seconds, my man, on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line.
Hey, Steve, great show. We use judgment, and we should not judge, but yet it is written on how we are supposed to judge. And Jesus told us that. We are supposed to love everybody, but look at their works. Okay? So that's kind of mixing a lot of Bible verses there. And that's exactly what the show is, to point out their works. Look at Tim Wall's works.
Yep.
Garbage.
Yep.
Not Christian. And the Constitution in this country works when we have good Christian leadership. That's it. Anything else, we will fall.
Love it. 100% right. Grant, fantastic stuff. Thanks for calling, my friend. I hope you do it often. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for being with me, my friend. Have a great day. Stay tuned for Scotty and keep on flying that flag.